You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. And speaking of NBA 2K24, shout out to everyone who came down to the NBA 2K24 tournament that I hosted at the brand new NBA store on Oxford Street today. It was great vibe, great atmosphere, great energy. I know a lot of you guys who came down showed some love. I appreciate each and every one of you. If you didn't make it down, hopefully we get to do some more in the future. But in the meantime, we're back. Myself, Momutsi, alongside me as always to break down the best of the NBA playoffs, the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong, nice early finish today. Thank you, Mr. Adam Silver. It's only 4 a.m., a rare early finish for me. How did you enjoy tonight's basketball?
Lots of basketball. Great. Your Celtics.
Yeah. Well, I need your help on this, BJ.
Okay.
Because I was hosting this event. And I don't know why the NBA scheduled an event at the same time that playoff games were on, but here we are. So I didn't actually get to see the Magic and the Cavaliers and the Pelicans and the OKC game. I was making dinner. I was getting stuff sorted at the house. You know how it goes. There's always something. Yeah. As you tell me, there's always something. So I didn't really get to see much of that. So the first two games, I'm going to need you to dive into your expertise and your insights and really break down what happened.
Well, I mean, you know, let's start at the beginning, you know, with the first game here, the Magic and the Cavaliers. Simply put, the Magic have figured out something. These guys are young. They're playing with energy. And in particular, you know, those young guys. Today, it was Franz Wagner. I mean, he showed up big.
That's what I said at the start of the series. Yeah. I said the key for this series, if Franz Wagner can get going, that's a matchup problem for them.
Because
I'm looking at the stat sheet now, and Paolo only finished with 9 points.
Right.
But when you've got a co-star in Franz that can step up and score 32, that's really it. But what stands out to me, just looking at the numbers here, the Cavs only scored 4 threes, a second game in a row where they couldn't shoot the basketball from downtown. Is that to do with them being on the road? Is that to do with the Magic defense? What are you seeing from the Cavs' perimeter shooting?
You know, sometime, Mo, you'll have a thing. And, you know, I think this is just kind of an anomaly. You know, they're, for whatever reason, they're not getting stops. For whatever reason, they're not playing well as far as, you know, what they need to get done. I mean, I think the Magic shot like over 50% from the field. It's really hard to defend. Yeah, I don't know what they shot.
I asked my wonderful Twitter followers to catch me up on what happened. And in the third quarter, the Magic went on a 50-15 run, which was sparked by a little squaring up between Suggs and Darius Garland. And Chase, one of my Twitter followers, who said shout out to Chase, he says that the Cavs offense just disappeared and the defensive adjustments on Wagner were awful. Garland forced too many bad shots. And in regards to Wagner, they allowed him too many drives into the paint and allowed him too much space. Evan Mobley had nothing for him. What do you say to that, BJ?
Well, like I said, you know, I'm giving these young guys credit. Sometimes you don't know how young people are going to respond, and give them credit. Now, while we're sitting here singing their praise here, what they did was they defended home court.
Yeah,
that's all was done, you know, and as you and I say, the series doesn't start till another team wins.
Oh, BJ, BJ, we got a pause right now. I'm in shock.
Yeah.
It's taken us one whole week of the playoffs for you to say that.
Well, no one's done anything.
What you don't know is we were having bets on how long it would take for you to say that phrase. And I bet that you would say it on the first night of the playoffs.
No, so I told you, I don't know what Orlando's going to do. They're ahead of schedule. They are doing what they do as far as playing and showing up. They play freely. They play, you know, like kind of a, you know, they're just like young kids playing. There's no pressure on them. Okay.
They dominated the glass once again.
Yeah. They're supposed to get swept, right? You know, Cleveland is supposed to win. However, I said this, and I'm going to say it again. I told you last night when we taped, if Orlando wins this game 4, I think they have a chance now.
I think they're going to win.
I think they have a chance. They have two games. They have two games to try to win one game over there in Cleveland. And I think they can do it now.
And you think it's a lock that they win game 6 at home?
Well, they've certainly shown and they've established that they're much better at home than on the road. And when you know, when you lose back-to-back games in a series in the fashion in which they lost those games, now you have my attention. This wasn't just like for instance, the Lakers. Even though they were down 3-0, they still were like, you know, the games were close enough where you're saying, you know, like Philly and New York is a prime example.
Mm.
Okay, New York's still up 2-1 in the series. However, this a bounce here, a bounce there, this could be 3-0 for Philly. It could be 2-1 Philly. This is a close series. Now, Orlando has established we are the better team, especially at home. And traditionally, teams play better at home.
Of course.
And I think now, and here's what has my attention. They got double figure scoring now off the bench with not one guy, but a couple guys.
Yeah, they had Markel Fultz come off with 12 and Jonathan Isaac had 14. He's not usually known as a big scorer.
Okay, but let me tell you something. Markel Fultz is a starter. I know he's coming off the bench now, but he's a starter. Markel Fultz is very capable.
And speaking of stars, though, a change that they made that I also think, not just playing at home, but going back to Wendell Carter Jr. in the starting lineup and Jonathan Isaac off the bench, got them in a more familiar rotation pattern. So it might not just be the factor of being at home. It might be that lineup adjustment from Jamal Mosley. That might be actually the difference. We might go see game 5 in Cleveland and they might steamroll that one too.
Yeah, that's again, when you start getting double figure scoring off your bench in a game, Mo.
Because I think I get more concerned off the bench.
I start to get concerned. I'm like, okay, they won without their best player even getting the double figures. And you know, Mo, my rule, really good players, great players never have back-to-back bad games.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect Paolo to be better. I expect now Wagner, you know, Franz Wagner now has that's a big-time effort, 34 and 13.
They're going to have to adjust to that.
Okay. Wendell Carter, double figures. This guy Suggs now has established himself. He's the best defensive guard in the series right now.
Yep.
So they know they can do something. And now you can easily have a guy like Markel Fultz or somebody come in with a 15-point effort, and that's a game changer. That's a game changer, okay? Mm. No bench player on Cleveland scored in double figures. So I'm really concerned. I don't know what's going on with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. I don't know what's going on. But what I know right now is that I'm really concerned because Orlando is due. And now they're playing free. Now they're playing with house money, as they say. So, hey, we know we can beat them at home. All we got to do is get one. And I think they have the confidence now going into game 5. And I'll say this. I think whoever wins game 5 probably wins the series.
You said that before game 4.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I do. I really do. Game 7 is almost impossible. I think Orlando has to win this. This is a must game for them. And it'll be great for this young team to really take on this challenge. And if they could come out somehow, some way and win this game, you know, what that would be an amazing accomplishment. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, they play very well at home. A team who played awfully at home was the New Orleans Pelicans. Nothing new over here. They lost 106-85 against the OKC Thunder, who cruised to a 3-0 series lead. Over there, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 24 points. Jalen Williams, 21 points. The Australian guard had 21 points as well. Over for the Pelicans, they have 4 guys reached double figures. But, BJ, what are we saying here? Jonas Valanciunas only played 10-11 minutes in this game. Now, I didn't get to see much of this game. So can you tell me why the big fella, have been foul trouble. He only had one personal foul in the game.
For some reason, the game plan, let's go small and play to the strength of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't know. I'll just tell you what I saw. I don't think there's any way possible that I'm going to play small ball with the OKC Thunder. I'm not playing small ball with the Thunder, but that's what happened. they went small, and the better small ball team won. And that's the Thunder. The Thunder they were great. You know, the kid, you know, they got a terrific effort from all their players. Shea, Giddey, Jalen Williams, Dort. I mean, those guys all play well. So, you know, Chet Holmgren wasn't, you know, didn't have a normal Chet game. However, the other guys, you know, stepped up, played well. And like I said, these kids, Jalen Williams and these guys were great. And for whatever reason, the Pelicans went small and they tried to beat them at their own game, which to me, I didn't understand it, but that's what they did. And this is what happened. I don't know what's going on with New Orleans. You've heard me say this now, so I'm going to leave that to you. What's going on?
Do you think they're getting swept?
Well, again, you know, it looks like they're ready. It looks like they're ready. I don't think there's anything they can do as far as adjusting. I think this series is clear who the better team is now. I don't know. It doesn't look good for the Pelicans. And like, again, I don't know why they went small today. I don't know if maybe Valanciunas wasn't, I don't know, maybe something, he was injured or something. I don't know. But I just didn't understand the matchups going into the game. I think he only played like 12 minutes, if that. You know, he had like, I don't know, 6 or 7 points in those 12 minutes. But, you know, it is what it is. And give OKC credit. Those guys played well. They played together. And, look like they're ready to move on to the next round.
Oh, shout out to the OKC Thunder. And then I finally settled in and watched my very own Boston Celtics.
Okay.
104 to 84. And I would like to welcome the Boston Celtics to the 2024 NBA playoffs, because it was nice to see them finally show up, play with some defensive intensity. And BJ, here's the thing. The Miami Heat, they shot a better percentage from behind the arc than the Celtics. Yet the Celtics still won a game because of their defense. And that is what I love to see. They were closing out better. They were rotating better. They were communicating better.
Why is that a big thing? Like, why?
Because
is that
you
a big
saw
thing?
Game two. You saw game two. Even I could have closed out to those shooters. And I'm 4,000 miles away across an ocean. And I could have got there before the Celtics defense did.
Oh,
so it was nice to see them actually doing it in game three.
Well, I'm going to say this. I think the stats matter. However, you know, it's almost impossible. We're let's just call it what it is instead of the theater of it. It's highly unlikely that they're going to win this series, the Miami Heat, without Jimmy Butler. I mean, their best player is out. Like, they've won a game.
Okay, I heard something. Okay. Stan Van Gundy during the broadcast said something really interesting. Miami Heat have won 58% of their games over the last three seasons when Jimmy Butler plays. Do you know what percentage of games they've won when Jimmy Butler doesn't play?
Which is?
57%.
Okay.
So all of this, they're missing their best player. Over the past three seasons, him playing or not playing hasn't really affected what Eric Spoelstra can do with this roster.
Okay. The playoffs is a different animal. They're playing the best team in the league, potentially for 7 games.
That's their punishment for not taking a regular season seriously.
I get it. When you're playing the NBA, and I'm giving respect to every player in the NBA, they're playing the very best team in the league for a potential 7 games. I'm not buying the 57% during the regular season, the teams they're playing.
Well, those stats include playoffs and regular season.
Okay, I'm just not buying it. However, all I'm saying is you need your full roster to be available to play when you're playing against the best, if you're going to beat the best. And that's going to include Jimmy Butler. Now, they've won a game, great coaching job. Those guys believe. They play with confidence. However, what you saw tonight is the Boston Celtics were ready. It just comes down to talent. Like, you need a talent like a Jimmy Butler. you need everything, and you need people to play above their normal, whatever they contribute to the game. And when the Celtics play like that on the defensive end, I don't care about the three-point shooting. I don't care about any of that. When you defend, that's the championship mentality. I have to defend somebody. If I don't score and you don't score, the score is 0-0. That's it. All of this three-point shooting, you know, whatever it is, pace and space, all that stuff doesn't matter. Jokic, he plays the game at an elite level. And when you have players like that, you got to throw out all the other stuff because you got to be able to defend that. So when the Celtics, if the Celtics are going to win a championship, this is a championship or bust season. And I want to give Porzingis credit because I'm watching Porzingis. He responded to me to the first challenge. He had a bad game. And he came back tonight and he had, 18 and whatever, or whatever he did. He was terrific. He responded. Now let's move on to the next challenge because we need him. You need him, Mo, to play like that if the Celtics are going to be a championship caliber team. That's it. It's for me, with them is, can they get 16 wins?
Okay. Do you think they will?
When you give me that type of effort, and they didn't play exceptionally well. I mean, their best defensive player only had 3 points today.
The best defensive player only had 3 points.
Yeah. Drew Holiday is their best. They're going to need Drew Holiday to defend at an elite, elite level. He's their best on-ball defender. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. It's just the sentence just didn't make sense for a second.
Okay. The sentence. I'm just telling you, if you're going to, I'm going to make this clear and then I'm going to move on. If you're going to win a championship, you're going to have to stop someone. Their best defender. He's the best on-ball defender.
Yes.
On their team.
Yes.
He didn't play particularly well today.
Yeah.
On the offensive end. Okay. If you tell me Drew Holiday in the NBA Finals is going to have 3 points, I feel pretty good about the other team winning the game because he's going to see an elite guard as he advances. As he advances, he could see Jalen Brunson. He could see Tyrese Maxey. He's going to see Haliburton. He could see Jamal Murray. He's going to see an elite guard. He's going to see an elite player. He could see Luka. He could see Kyrie. All I'm saying is I'm watching them from a championship lens.
Okay. Do you know what I liked about the game today? There was only 5 turnovers.
You're playing the Miami Heat. You're going to see an elite. All of this stuff here, that's...
Hey, I'm just basing the reaction of what happened in game 2, and now we're on game 3. You have to respect your opponent, no matter who they are and who's on the floor. It's the NBA playoffs.
Take care of business. I told you I wasn't concerned. I wasn't concerned with what happened. Things happen. Okay, they had a little letdown, little wake-up call.
You think they're going to win game 4 in Miami?
They better. They better.
Cool. Speaking of a game that you better win, the Lakers were facing... We're facing a 3-0 deficit tonight, an elimination game, and they managed to get the win at home, 119-108 over the Denver Nuggets. And for once, BJ, for the first time this series, they didn't throw away their lead in the third quarter. It was tough for me to watch this game, and I struggled to focus on the first half because throughout this series so far, the first halves have just not mattered. But credit to the Lakers for sticking with it. LeBron James had 30 points. Anthony Davis had 25 points and 23 rebounds. And the big difference between the last game and this one is D'Angelo Russell scored 21 points. He was 4 of 8 from downtown, 8 of 15 overall. And Austin Reeves had 21 points as well. Torian Prince gave them 9 off the bench, and they finally got some others to step up and help. Whereas on the other hand, Aaron Gordon, who had a monster game 3, was largely quiet in this one, only 7 points. Jokic, in typical Jokic fashion, 33 points, 14 rebounds, 14 assists. Michael Porter Jr. had 27 points. Jamal Murray had 22. But aside from that, they really didn't get anything from their bench. It was tough for the Denver Nuggets tonight. What did you see from the Lakers? And let me pose this question to you. The LA Lakers are down 3-1. But had it not been for Jamal Murray scoring on a buzzer, it would have been 2-2. And the time in this series that the Lakers have had the lead is like three times more than the time the Denver Nuggets have even held the lead in these games. Do you see there's any way of the Lakers coming back in this series?
Do I see any way? Yes, I see a way. However, I think it's highly unlikely that they come back. They play with a level of desperation. I like to see the response of people under duress. That just lets me know the character that you have with your group. Now, the Lakers, they have faced a lot of adversity over the years. And a lot of people are critical of the Lakers. Laker Nation is, they're ready to fire everyone after a loss. They're ready to love you after a win. Lakers in seven is trending now out here in LA. Okay, after a win. Okay, so the highs are highs and the lows are lows. Now, why did they win this game? Clearly, the front court of the Lakers can match the front court of the Denver Nuggets. Okay? We can talk about the brilliance of Jokic. 33, 14, and 14. Okay, but let's look on the other side. 25, 23, and 6. Okay? Now, we could talk about Jokic's brilliance. AD gave you 25, 23, and 6. Okay? Last game, Aaron Gordon was simply magnificent. You know, what did he have? 27 or 30 points or something he had last game?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James had 35 and 4 with three steals. Now, that's a big-time effort from your front court. So when you establish in any series that you can do something, you give yourself a chance. There's no doubt that the Lakers have a chance. Now, but there's one caveat here that we have to talk about. Who can contribute to the game when they don't score? D'Angelo Russell, when he doesn't score, what's his contribution to the game?
Well, it's not defense.
He's got to find a way because the Denver Nuggets can contribute to the game without scoring. In particular, Caldwell Pope can do it. Aaron Gordon can do it. Okay, the kid Bron can do it. They have enough guys that can contribute to the game when they don't score. Now, give the Lakers credit. They have, what, three or four guys that scored over 20 points in their starting lineup. Rui had 9. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have to find a way to contribute to the game when you don't score. That's their problem right now. So the key for them is when the ball isn't going through the basket like it was going for D'Angelo Russell the other night in game 3, they're going to struggle. But when he shoots right now and he plays well, they clearly play well, provided their big two can match the front line of the Denver Nuggets. Because Jokic, normally if Jokic has an effort like this, 33, 14, and 14, that just overwhelms the front line of the opposing team. But when you counter that with 25 and 23 and 6, suddenly now it starts going to the others. LeBron James won the matchup tonight. They have, we always talk about contributions of others, right? When you get an unlikely contribution. When D'Angelo Russell, you know, what did he shoot from the field? He was like 4 from 8 from 3, 8 for 15 for the game. Okay. When he does that, suddenly now, those are very beneficial for the Lakers. And that's what happened tonight. So give the front line credit. Nothing to be concerned about if you're Denver. You came there, mission accomplished. Give the Lakers credit for having the basketball integrity to come out and play. They played with pride. They played with a sense of desperation. They were intense. LeBron James was definitely engaged. He was engaged from start to finish. It was a great game for the Lakers. Anthony Davis laid it out on the line. Anthony Davis has had a really nice season, by the way.
And he's been available. Shout out to
He's
him.
been, yes, got to give him credit. Give the big fella credit. I mean, you, if you are a big, if you are a big anywhere in the world, you should get the tape of these four or five or six games, whatever it's going to be, because you're seeing a clinic and you're seeing a contrast of styles. But both of those guys are playing at an elite, elite level. Anthony Davis is playing fantastic. Jokic is playing fantastic. And you're seeing how bigs can play in today's pace and space game. So I think it's great. Give the Lakers credit. Now let's go back to a Mile High up there in Denver and see what happens in game five.
Who you got in game five?
I got Denver.
Yeah.
I think Denver's the better. I think Denver's the better team. I really do. You know, I'm a little concerned about Jamal Murray doesn't look healthy to me right now.
No, he was holding his knee at one point in the game.
Yeah, he doesn't look healthy. Bit. He doesn't look like the Jamal Murray that I've come to expect. So I'm a little concerned about that, you know, and that's why I have to always respect the game, because a series can take a turn very quickly. And that's what I was referring to with your Celtics. Take care of your business, because an injury here or something there can change a series in a heartbeat. I'm a little concerned with Jamal Murray, but other than that, I think they'll take care of business. I think they'll be ready. And I think the Denver Nuggets are due for a good game. They haven't played well in the series.
No, not at all. Especially not in the first half. They're going to have to start playing the full four quarters this series at some point.
I don't think they've played well. And I think they know that. So, and they should feel lucky, you know, by all accounts, to be up 3-1, even though they haven't played well. But that just speaks to how good they really are. They are a championship caliber team. I know they can play better. But I expect them to take care of business in game five.
Tonight, New York, Philly. Who you got? Tip off. Knicks lead 2-1.
I'm going to bring my boxing gloves to this.
I think it's
going to be heated. I think it's going to be highly contested. I think it's going to be a very physical game. I have Philly winning this game. I think it's 2-2. And then I think it's anyone's series. I think it's anyone's series. I think this game, this series is highly contested. I think it should come down to these three games. But Philly obviously has to take care of business. And I think this is going to be a very, very contested game. New York, I don't want to go back to New York 2-2. I can tell you that. That's too much. It's too much in New York. The New York media now will have a couple of days to talk about the game, talk about the players who didn't play well in game four. And now the Knicks, and it's just so close, you know, it's so close that you have to hear it all the time. I think the Knicks have to win this. I think the Knicks have to win it. But I think Philly is, you know, I think they'll be ready. So I'm going to say Philly in game four. And then let's get to 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, I think I said Knicks in seven because I want to see that Madison Square Garden crowd for a game seven over there in New York. But the next game of the day, you guys can watch it on BBC iPlayer. I'll be in the studio for it. It's the LA Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas. Dallas are up 2-1. Not sure about the injury status of Luka or Kawhi. I'm assuming both will play. But who do you have for this?
I'm going Mavericks.
Yep.
Mavericks 2-1. Yep. I was concerned after game one. And I just tell you what I saw. So, and that's the one thing, Mo, I wish we could be at every game, because you can really see what you need to see, right? You can see the body language of the players. You can see the game. You can see the timeouts. You can see the plays after a timeout. You know, you can see it on television, but not the same way. Well,
anyone who wants to send us to the games, we will deliver you the best show you've ever seen in your life in return.
Yeah, you can see it. And once you see it, the Clippers won that game easily. But I didn't like the way they won the game. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. I just didn't like the way they won the game, because I knew Dallas wasn't going to play. They couldn't play that bad. The rest of the series. So, I think the Mavericks have figured something out. I think Luka, you know, is taking on the challenge, and not just offensively, defensively, Luka is taking on that challenge, and that's what I love about Luka. Who are you going to defend? And when he does that.
He said, it don't matter anymore. I'm going to defend anyone.
Exactly. That's all they want. Just give me the effort and we'll figure it out. When your best player does that, It's just, it's inspirational to everyone else on the field.
Yeah, in the last game, they stopped, they, you know, in game one, they were attacking Luka on the ball, and they figured out after game two, they can't do that. So game three, Luka ended up picking up some steals as the weak side help defender, because he can just, he's such a good offensive player. He right. knows the kind of pass the Clippers are trying to make when they're on offense, and he can read that. I'm going with the Dallas Mavericks in that one. And then the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers in Indiana. I like the Pacers for this one again. I don't even know if Dame's going to play. Your boy Doc might be in some serious trouble here.
Yeah, I'm going Pacers. I'm going Pacers here. But you know, I don't like these games when they're like trap games like this, because Giannis is out, Dame is out. Now clearly everyone's saying Indiana has to win, and these are the games where it's just a natural letdown for whatever the reason may be, but. This is the playoffs. I'm going to say these Pacers, they've learned their lesson in game one. They lost big. And I think now they're poised to win and take care of business. And if especially if Dame doesn't play. I mean, you just have to win this. Dame and Giannis doesn't play.
If you don't win this, you don't deserve it.
You don't deserve the series.
Now, are we finally going to be able to get the brooms out and get the Phoenix Suns out of here when they face the Minnesota Timberwolves at home? They're down 3-0.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Ant-Man to say. I don't think Ant-Man's going to chill. I think he's out, because he put on his Instagram story. I don't know if you remember when the Dallas Mavericks were whooping the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs. He was videoing the TV and he goes, man, they talk so much trash in the regular season. Even this year in the regular season, they've been talking trash to him. I think this one's personal for him. I think he's got no chill on this. I think Rudy's out there still trying to prove his doubters wrong. I think they're really up for this. And I think that they're going to go in there with some serious energy. The Suns, everything I've seen from them, you're talking about body language, even through the TV, you can see the body language of the Suns. Outside of maybe like Josh Okogie, they really don't care from what I've seen so far from them. I would be shocked if they won this game. Do you see it going any other way?
I really think Ant-Man wants to finish this. I really think he understands the assignment. You know, he's ready. He's arrived. Well, he's here. I don't see there's any stopping this young man right now. He plays the game with such a bravado, with such a competitive spirit that you're cheering for him. You know, my son, who's 8 years old, you know, he's playing his, what is it? What do they call it? The video games, whatever. The
NBA 2K24, BJ, the sponsor of this show. I know it's late, but come on.
That's what he's playing. He's playing this game, okay? And as he's playing his game. No, seriously. He was playing something.
At least someone in the Armstrong household knows about video games.
No, he does. He plays that game. He does play the game. And he's playing something. And Mohi looks up and he goes, that guy's pretty good. And I go, who? He goes, what's that guy named Edwards? Well, this is an eight-year-old. Even my son could see this. He is that good. I think he's going to try to finish this thing.
Yep. Nail in the coffin. Let's go.
Yeah, I think he's going to try to finish it. And I'm just telling you, if he does, I think something's going to happen in Phoenix. That's just my gut feeling.
It has to. They can't pay that much money for another first-round exit. Yeah.
Something has to happen in Phoenix. This is not good. Well, this is not good.
I want to ask you about one thing that I forgot to mention when we were talking about the Lakers and the Nuggets before we go here. The Denver Nuggets had to do their warm-ups in sliders, in sandals, because their shoes had not arrived to the arena. Now, we know NBA players are creatures of habit, and the pregame routine is so important.
Oh, tonight?
Had to warm up without their sneakers. BJ, how much can this knock a player off their rhythm?
Oh, that's... Listen, every player has their routine. I didn't even know that happened. So that explains tonight then.
I tweeted that this was Darvin Ham's final adjustment to making the series. Just don't let them have their shoes and maybe we'll win.
When you are thrown off of your routine, it throws off everything. I like we're just creatures of habit when it comes to your routine, what you do. Everyone has their space. You know your team's routine. Like, okay, this is how Mo gets ready for the game. This is how BJ gets ready for the game. This is how you just know that. And it's like a shared space. So you know everybody. And then it's amazing how it all comes together. And then we all get ready at the same exact time, but you're doing different things. When your shoes don't arrive or something is thrown off, it throws off everything. So that explains tonight to me. And I didn't even know that. Something was off with them. But you don't get your warm up, you don't get your normal shots, you don't get your normal whatever it is you do. So that explains it. So it's not going to happen there in Denver. So I expect them to close it out.
Well, I would love if the Denver Nuggets made the Lakers' shoes go missing for game five. It would be peak pettiness. That's exactly what I would do
It
if I
probably was
was.
traffic. Honestly, because this is LA, it
It doesn't
probably was
matter.
traffic.
If I'm Denver, I'm getting someone to sneak into the Lakers' locker room and throw away their shoes before the game because I'm just petty like that.
Well, it's really hard to do when the arena, the hotel is like literally 2 miles from the arena in Denver. But in LA, it's a little different story.
How far is a
So
hotel in LA usually? Or does
well,
that 2 miles
depend
just take way longer because of the traffic?
well, 7 miles could take you, 7 miles could take you an hour.
I know
This is
because
LA.
I the first time
This
I
is
ever
LA.
went to LA, I went on Google Maps, right? I'm at Venice Beach, a little
Oh
basketball
yeah,
on the courts. And I'm like, let me go back to the hotel now, right? And I'm meeting someone at my hotel. We're going for dinner. And I've looked on the Google Maps and it says 15 minutes away. So I've
right.
thought, all right, it's going to take me 15 minutes to get to the hotel. That gives me about 45 minutes to get ready. I can meet the squad. We'll go for dinner. I get my Uber, BJ. 2 hours later, I arrive at the hotel. Everyone's left.
I mean, it's LA. I mean, you can, it literally, listen, whenever you go anywhere in LA, you got to give yourself 2 2.5 hours. That's a fact. That's just the way it
I
is.
was in that Uber trapped inside thing, and I should have just got a skateboard or something because it would have been quicker.
That's how it works. I mean, it's just like, but it's just like London, just like London,
Well, London, at least we've got the
traffic.
underground, though. The underground's just a better way of getting around than sitting. If you're going in the car, I understand a big time celebrity like you've got to be in the chauffeur car. But for a normal guy like me, I can just get on the underground, hop on, hop off, and I'm all right, you
Hey, Mo, I'm a man of the people. I don't
know.
play that. I don't play that. I don't play that. I don't play that
I'm gonna see you on the
superstar
underground this
stuff.
summer then, huh?
That's how I roll. I roll with the
But
people.
speaking of long journeys, I've got a 4 hour journey to get to the TV studio tomorrow. So I'm gonna go
Okay,
get
good
my 2 hours
luck.
of sleep. I appreciate you, BJ. I am missing you on the TV. I wanna find a way to get you on there with me as well, because it's not the same. It's just not the same. Do you know? It's like, how are you gonna have Kobe without Shaq? How are you gonna have MJ without Scottie? You know, how are you gonna have Mama without BJ? Come on, man. What's going on here?
We'll figure it out. It'll happen when it's supposed to happen.
We gotta
It's
find a
all
way.
love.
But
All right.
appreciate you guys tuning in.
All right.
BJ, appreciate you. Enjoy the
All
early
right.
night, early-ish. It's now 5 a.m. But yeah, make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, until next time, get buckets.